From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. The World Cup starts this week in Germany, with 32 nations competing for soccer's most coveted trophy. More than 30 billion cumulative TV viewers will watch at least part of the month-long contest, making the Cup by far the world's most popular TV sporting event. In spite of this popularity, international soccer also has a darker side. As top players move around the world, many black athletes face racist insults and attacks on some European fields. There are concerns that black players and fans might have the same kind of trouble during the World Cup. Sean Wilsey is co-editor of the Thinking Fan's Guide to the World Cup. Excerpts from the book are featured in this month's National Geographic cover story. We spoke about the troubling aspect of racism in the sport, but we started our discussion with why the U.S. hasn't quite caught on to the world's passion for the game.
I think the best reason I can come up with is that we don't like games that can't be interrupted. And soccer basically happens in two really long 45-minute halves with no breaks. And so there's no opportunity, A, for advertisers to do a commercial or to get up and leave at any point. So you're pretty much stuck there for the whole time.
Here's what's interesting, though. I'm 45 years old now, and I can recall when I was growing up, the United States was introduced to Pelé, and we were told that this was a wonderful sport and this man was a fantastic athlete, and one would have believed that by now it would have caught on.
I know. You would think so. I mean, in a funny way, it's probably caught on more than we quite realize. It's definitely a huge youth sport. And it doesn't always translate into something that people are passionate about watching on TV.
Let me ask you, as relates to the world and the World Cup, there are areas of the world where we have seen warring that has gone on for years, three and a half, if you will, stop during this time.
Oh, absolutely. There's a great piece in the National Geographic about Cote d'Ivoire, which, you know, is an African nation that's been having civil war for a long time, and how basically the fact that Cote d'Ivoire has qualified for the first time ever for the World Cup is this opportunity that they seem to be taking to actually start talking instead of resorting to violence.
Here's the other interesting aspect of it, again, missed on Americans, is the business of soccer and the huge amounts of money not only go through the sport, but the marketing of these athletes outside of the United States.
Yeah. I think David Beckham is making $35 million to play for Real Madrid in Spain. And then, like, Lord knows what his marketing income is for all the ads and sponsorship that he has, but there's a lot of money in soccer.
All right, let me take you to the question of racism. As I said, for many people, it was brought to light by the excellent television essay Bryant Gumbel did on Real Sports that really gave you a close-up look at what many African and Latin American players were going through in European countries, in Brazil and other places, where they literally were being pelted by bananas, being accosted by fans, being teased with monkey sounds. This has gone on, quite frankly, in light of all of the soccer organizations looking on, with much of the world looking on, and until the last year and a half, very little fanfare about stopping it.
Yeah, because racism exists everywhere, and it certainly still exists in this country. And in a weird way, you can look at that and say, well, okay, at least we can see that, like, this is how bad it is, and it gives you, a really direct way to address it. But whether or not, I mean, you can stop those people from going to matches, and you can take away their banners, and there are things that you can do, but whether or not you can actually change the underlying mindset that creates that is, like, a much bigger issue, and probably has a lot to do with, I think, the most racist fans tend to come from countries that are really homogenous.
And what we are seeing is a growing number of African players and Latin American players now playing on teams that, as you suggested, had been homogenized for years and years and years, and even on their own team sometimes, from their own fans, they are seeing this kind of vile language and protests go on from fans.
Right. And, you know, I think the biggest positive thing that maybe will change that is that the players themselves, by and large, get along really well and play together really well. When you play with somebody and you're on the same team with someone, even if you come from like a homogenous society where everybody that you ever saw growing up was blonde or everybody that you ever saw growing up was black, you're gonna have to start seeing other people from other places.
Yeah, there's this real foxhole mentality that
takes
over.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the players who are really heroes are the people who are going to be able to change that with their own fans and the players.
How much do you believe with the world watching the World Cup? And it seems to have gotten, at least here in the United States, a bit more, particularly with every 2 seconds ESPN pushing it, the idea that you have seen it marketed better here. How much do you believe with the world watching we're going to either see this kind of dirty racism play itself out, or whether or not this can be the beginnings of a change?
I think it really can be the beginnings of a change. I think that there may be some incidents outside of the stadiums, but I think people really go to the World Cup with a lot of goodwill. And it's a really long, really fun tournament where you get to see a lot of good soccer, and you see more people from more places in the world than you're going to see anywhere else. And so I really do deeply believe that it can be a positive thing and will be.
Well, let's certainly hope so. We don't want any violence or any ill behavior to mar what can be, as you suggest, particularly with the way we see the world today, a grand event. Sean Wilsey, we should note again your book, The Thinking Fan's Guide to the World Cup, and also excerpts from that in form of many articles, if you will, umbrellaed with your introduction in the National Geographic, The Beautiful Game, Why Soccer Rules the World. We thank you so much.
Thank you.